Welcome back to NHL Draft Class. We are here for Season 7. Season 7 of NHL Draft Class. I can't believe we're here. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Are you ready for the 2025 NHL Draft, Mike?
We are ready to roll. Seventh season of NHL Draft Class. Can't believe it, buddy. Great news. Number one, that we return to provide our listeners with insight into a new group of great prospects eligible for the 25 draft, but also, can't forget, because we get to spend some quality time with the always patient Bob Bender, our producer. How great is that, Adam? How great is that?
One thing I can say for sure about Bob is he does not look like a thumb. Little bit of an inside joke before we started recording. We'll get back to that one a little bit later. But Mike, let's talk about some draft news we have out now. The first step on the road to where the 25 draft is going to lead us. The players to watch list was published this week. You can see it on NHL.com. Mike, you took a deep dive into the list. What did you find as far as the A-rated, the B-rated players, the guys that we're going to be talking the most about as we move forward here?
Yeah, there are 24 A-rated prospects or potential first-round picks, 44 B-rated or possible second or third-round choices. So as Adam said, head over to NHL.com. You could view the list while you're listening to the show. Players with a C rating are potential fourth or fifth round picks, and those with a W rating indicate potential sixth or seventh round selections. So we know, at least in our eyes, Adam, Boston College center James Hagans heads the list of several solid A-rated prospects. Let's put it that way, that we'll get into with NHL Central Scouting Director Dan Marr in today's episode. So there's plenty to talk about and dive into with Dan, including four international players with an A rating.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. You know, we've kind of talked about James Hagans. It feels like even going back to last year's draft, and you can listen to some of our previous episodes, especially last year when we kind of wrapped up the 24 draft and kind of started talking about the 25 draft with Craig Button, our friend from TSN and NHL Network. You know, it's not just James Hagans, and we'll talk to Dan about that. There's a lot of guys. Porter Martone, I think, is someone that we're going to be speaking a lot about as we move forward here. You know, the big power forward from Brampton, he's top five in the OHL in scoring already. Not bad for a 17/18-year-old.
No. I like the size of Porter and, you know, what he's capable to do for that team. And he's a captain, you know, for Brampton this season. So that speaks a lot to how highly they view him as a player, not only as a player, but as a as a character guy in the locker room and what he's able to do and bring out the best in his teammates. So, and in addition to Porter, you know, Michael Misa of Saginaw is another one, Malcolm Spence of Erie in the Ontario League, each A-rated and are thought of very highly on Central Scouting. And then defenseman Matthew Schaefer of Erie is another player that we're going to be looking at closely during the course of the season, Adam. So there's plenty to watch and plenty to rate this year, in the Canadian Hockey League, as well as college hockey as well.
Well, one of the great things about NHL draft class is you can listen to us talk about the top prospects, or you can listen to some of our fantastic guests. So let's bring in now Dan Marr, the director of NHL Central Scouting. Dan, the scouting season is underway. I hope the road is treating you well.
It's been hectic. The best thing about it is there's been no snow.
Well, that's good. Yeah, very good. So you haven't been to the queue yet, I assume.
I've been through the Quebec League already.
Ah, okay. Well, that's good.
I've hit all the leagues now, seen all the top guys.
Well, of the 24 A-rated players listed by Central, Dan, James Hagans is the one who seems right now to be the most discussed player. Where do you feel Hagans stands among the 24 A's and why?
Well, he's near the top of the class along with a couple other players. One of the things that we like about him is that he has a very dynamic style. He likes to compare himself to Jack Hughes. And his consistency with his, just the way he has such a proactive, dynamic type game. He's always on the attack, always quick to capitalize. But in the offensive zone, he's got that read, react, and those instincts that generate chances, but also for him to set up chances and get open to bury the chances. And sometimes you talk, there's forwards, they just hang around the red line so they get the odd man rush and get in on the breakaways there. He has that skills, But he's also the one that's one of the first forwards back. So like he just has a really good mindset, seeing the ice, reading the game. His vision and anticipation are really, really high end.
Dan, we've talked a lot about Hagans as maybe being the number one pick. I would think Porter Martone from Brampton is another guy that's going to be right there pushing for that number one spot. He's so big and he's strong. He's the captain of his team, and he's one of the top scorers in the OHL, despite his team maybe having a little bit of a slow start early in the season. When you and the Central group has watched Martone, where are the areas of his game that have really stood out and impressed you guys the most?
Actually, the best way to describe him is that there are no holes to his game. So, in every category you want a player to perform well in any zone, he's able to find a way to do that. And he does it combining his mixture of size and strength. He's not what you'd call an elite skater, but he's got that knack and ability to be in the right place at the right time. And he knows how to bury his chances. Like he compares himself to Matthew Tkachuk, and it's a very apt comparison because you can put him out there in any situation. He's one of those guys that when he gets the chance to score, he can bury it. A lot of guys, they put in the work, they make smart plays, they get in position, and they can't bury it. He can make the plays, he can finish. He's hard to check, and he's hard to stop on plays. This is the type of forward that the defenseman just dread seeing him come at them.
Porter, by the way, is filing an NHL draft diary each month for us on NHL.com, as is James Hagan. So fans can check those out as they each have already filed their October entries. Shifting gears here, Dan, from Hagan's, an American-born player, to another USA-born, Cullen Potter at Arizona State University. Potter, to me, might be one of, if not the fastest skater of this draft class, but kind of took an unusual path to get to college, leaving the national team development program after his U17 season. Did he make the right call, in your opinion, and what stands out about him?
Yeah, both David Gregory and I have been in to see him play already, and I just saw him last weekend. And academically, he was eligible to go into NCAA, and Arizona was a team that was able to provide him that opportunity. And it's a team where he gets a lot of ice time because he's one of the, like you mentioned, the fastest players and the most skilled players. And in the game I was at, like, he practically generated every scoring opportunity the team had in the game. So I think he's motivated. He's put the work in on the academic side to be eligible. He's put the work in the off season to get stronger. So I would say, from the way the season started here, he certainly made the decision that's going to benefit him. And we quickly elevated him to A after we got in and seen him play. And we saw him play against Michigan's and Providence, some good competition, and he just pops out at you. Like, I left there seeing the same player that I saw with Phil Kessel when he was playing at Northern Michigan, except this guy's got lightning speed to go along with it, but he's got that scoring touch.
Dan, speaking of guys with scoring touch, Michael Meisser from Saginaw in the Ontario League feels like someone we've been talking about for a few years now, especially after he got exceptional player status in 22. He had two pretty good seasons in the Ontario League, but now he's got 17 goals in his first 13 games. Where has he taken steps in his play this season?
Well, this is the year that you want him to break out. He's on that similar path. Alexis Lafrenière just recently went through the same thing where you're right, it's his third year. He's already got a Memorial Cup ring on his finger. And what I've seen this year is just the maturity to his game to where the consistency, the compete, the confidence, the character, they're all in play with him in his game this year. When I watch him play, I see a player out there who's not going to be denied. He's going to make things happen. He wants to be number one. You can see that just by the way he's playing. And he's certainly in that conversation the way he started off this year. He's been very, very impressive for everyone that's gone in to see him so far this year.
He has 68 goals and 157 points in 125 career OHL games so far. So pretty impressive. Switching gears to the Dub, Dan, I'm hearing a lot of good things about Brandon right-handed center Roger McQueen. 6'5", 197 pounds out of Brandon. I know he's currently out with an injury, but how impressive has this kid been in your viewings?
I haven't been in. I never got to see him this year. He played four games, or sorry, but we have scouted him for four games. We've had a couple guys that have gone through, but it's his third year. We know him as a player, and when we're projecting him, we see him. He's a little bit more physical version of a Tage Thompson. When he has the puck and he's going at full speed. It's difficult for anyone to stop him, get the puck off him, but he's got the speed, the skills, and the hands to get the puck to the net, get those scoring chances. But he's also a pretty complete player, and the combination of skill and physical game that he brings, it makes him a little bit unique in the draft class here, especially in the first round.
Dan, jumping over to the QMJHL for a moment. It's been 2 years since we've had a first-round pick out of that league, but this year you've got Blainville-Boisbriand forward Justin Carboneau, Moncton forward Caleb Denoyer. They each got A ratings in the preliminary rankings. What has your group liked about how those players have started the season?
The thing with both of them is they don't pop out at you because you're saying they're the fastest players or the most skilled players. They're players that have a lot of character to their game. They go through the front door. They get physically involved in the play. They fight for position. They battle for pucks. They get involved in scrums. But when they do get the chance, they're both good shooters. They know how to get open. Their hockey sense is good. So, these aren't elite skilled players, but they're very valuable players that belong in the conversation for the first round. And when you combine them with some elite skilled players, they're going to make those other players better. That's what they bring to the table, both these players. They make other guys on their teams better. And just the way they compete with their skills and attributes. That's what everybody loves about their games when they go and watch those two.
Four international players among the A-rated skaters, Dan. Two of them are playing with Djurgården, Victor Eklund, Anton Frundell. What stands out about each?
Victor Hedlund, he's not the biggest winger, but he's had good play in the Swedish men's league so far, and he always pops out at you when you watch him with his own peers and in his own age group. He's got some NHL DNA in the family there, but he's one of these players that when he uses the right plays bigger than his size, and he likes to say that he plays the Brad Marchand type game, and he does have that in him in that he's first on the pucks, he's always at the net. But he's got the speed, the high-end speed, quick pull-away gear, separate himself from traffic, combined with that drive to the net. He gets a lot of scoring chances, and he's got a good finishing touch. I think he's taken the right path here. I think they're playing him to help his development. But it's one of those smaller players who still needs to mature and get a little stronger. We think his upside is good, and he's got that mental toughness to where he's just going to be slow, steady, and he'll find his way to the NHL sooner rather than later. You'd asked about Frundell, and he's a little bigger version of a center, more along the lights of a Barkov there. He's normally one of the key players on his team. He's got good skills, strong skater. He can play in the battle areas, win those battles, but his hockey sense is what really stands out for him. Just the way he's able to make the clever plays, be elusive with the puck, set up plays. And he's shown on the skill side, size, and the compete that he deserves to be in this conversation as a first rounder. And, last year, first time in a long time, there was no Swedish player taken in the first round. And this year, there's a couple of strong candidates here that are first-round prospects.
Dan, Muskegon of the U.S. Hockey League announced earlier this month that Ivan Ryabkin was going to be coming over from Russia at some point soon to play for them. He's an A-rated prospect. I'm sure teams were excited about him going back to even last season. How much will it help from a scouting standpoint to have him coming over to North America this early in the season? And what makes him special? Are there similarities to, guys like Matvey Michkov or Ivan Demidov?
Well, first off, the comparisons to those two are on the hockey sense sides with his hockey IQ. It's pretty exceptional with this player. Coming over here, it's going to allow the clubs a little bit more of a comfort zone because they're going to be able to have live views. They're going to be able to spend some time with them more so because a lot of the scouting for Russia takes place via video and just for the local scouts. He's going to be coming over, if he does, into a league to where, you have to be ready to play every night. It's a tough league to play in. So we know he's got the smarts, and he's not tall, but he's pretty strong. He's got good balance, good trunk strength there. So it's going to be kind of neat to see how he develops on the North American rinks, play in the North American game. But it's definitely an advantage having him over here. He's got, like I said, the physical tools and the smarts to be a good player and be productive in the USHL. It'll be a benefit to the clubs to have a player of that caliber come over here.
Yeah, it sounds like down the road, possibly develop into an NHL power forward type someday. So that'll be interesting to watch Rypkin this season. So Dan, this has been great information. To wrap it up here, are there any players among the 44 B-rated prospects who are or might be moving in an upward trajectory?
There's been a comprehension from our group to where this draft is starting to show that it's got a lot of depth to it, especially the top three rounds, more so than last year in particular. And like we just recently had added Lakovic, Martin, Fiedler to the A category prior to our list here. But right now, like I can tell you, I was with John Williams, our Western scout, and we were watching Nathan Beam on Kamloops, and he's now tied for top scoring in the Western Hockey League. He's just on fire right now. You'll laugh when you watch him play. He's going to remind you of Ryan Smith with the hairdo, and he plays the same kind of game getting to the net. But he's someone that's going to rapidly move up. Same with Benjamin Kindle, that's on Calgary. Braden Coutts on Seattle. Jack Nesbitt is a big centerman at Windsor who's just finding his way, but he's on a trajectory to get up to that A. Emil Gitte played for Canada at the U18, playing in Chicoutimi this year. He's another player on the way. I'm going to bring one player that's not being talked about a whole lot right now, but I've been to see him play twice. Nick Smith, that covers Ontario, I identified him pretty earlier. The two games I've been at, there were over 20 scouting directors from the clubs at those two games. It's a player that plays for King City and the Ontario Junior Hockey League. Heyoshi Wang, and he goes by Simon, born in China. This is his fourth year playing over here in Canada. We have him with a B rating, but when you talk to NHL scouts, they compare him to Letourneau, who was taken in by Boston in the first round last year. And he's a 6'5 and a half, 215-pound defenseman. And he does play a Victor Hedman style game. The toughness and the physicality that he brings, but he's an elite skater and he's got very good hockey sense. This is someone that I think is going to be talked about quite a bit going forward here. But in the NHL scouting circles, there's a lot of buzz and there's a lot of scouts traveling to King City to see him play.
That's fantastic information. We'll keep our eye on him as well as all these other prospects. You've been so generous sharing your time and information with Dan Marr. Thank you so much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Have a great day, guys. Thank you.
Great stuff as always from Dan Marr. And if you followed us along here on NHL Draft Class as we start season 7, that's the kind of stuff we're going to have for you. Some of the top scouting minds in the scouting world. We're going to get their opinions on the top players, who to watch for when your favorite team gets around to the draft, who they could take, especially high up with those important first round draft picks. So this is the beginning of NHL Draft Class for this season, but we've got a long road ahead of us before we get to 2025 draft. We were going to be at all the big events, including the CHL USA Prospects Challenge coming up here November 26th and November 27th in London and Oshawa, Ontario. We will have shows from there with a lot of the guys we talked about with Dan today, including Porter Martone, Michael Misa. So definitely subscribe, stay on top of NHL Draft Class, because you will learn all about who your team might take. Mike, what stood out to you from Dan when he talked about guys like Martone, guys like Misa, Roger McQueen, all these other guys we're starting to hear about now, but we're going to hear a lot about moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we know a lot about Hagans and what he's all about, right, Adam? We were actually discussing, talking about him even last year, entering his draft eligible this season. I've heard so many good things about Roger McQueen from Brandon, and it's a shame that he did suffer that upper body injury. He's going to miss, I expect, maybe another 5 weeks here. Unfortunately, because of the injury, he's not going to be able to participate in that CHL NTDP Prospects Challenge, as you mentioned. Would have liked to have seen him, but he'll come back at some point, and you know, scouts are going to be flocking to Brandon to see him. A good right-handed shot, it's a big shot from what I understand and what a lot of the scouts have told me. He's got a real good motor. He complements the shot with his work ethic and what he's able to bring there. He's a player, I think, that everyone is going to appreciate once they see him in his element, playing with his team and doing what he does best. The other player that I'm really going to be following this year too, Adam, and I'm really curious about is Cullen Potter from Arizona State University. I did, ask Dan about Cullen, and it looks as though, and it seems from what I've seen in video and from what the scouts have been telling us, is this is an extremely exceptional skater. He's gifted offensively, and he was just looking to fast track his development in the tough National Collegiate Hockey Conference. And that is a tough conference, the NCHC. So he's a freshman there, after just one season. After just one season with the NTDP, where, you know, he led the under 17 team with 46 points in 54 games. So was originally going to Michigan State, but decided on ASU instead. And I think he's going to receive a lot of good playing time under Greg Powers. So what kind of impressed you or intrigued you with what Dan gave us?
I'm going to go with our guy, Porter Martone, our NHL.com draft diary writer. I go back to watching him in the summer at the World Junior Camp in Plymouth. And he was a big, strong, dominant guy there. And then, you know, you look at what he's done so far, 25 points in 11 games in the Ontario League. As Dan said, there are no holes to his game. I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of 17, 18-year-olds you can say that about. You know, he's the captain of his team, has a Matthew Tkachuk style. You know, I remember talking to his coach. They compared him to Corey Perry, just a guy who's big and he gets to the front of the net. He's unmovable. He's a leader. He plays well in every facet of the game. And I think, you know, when we come to the draft, I think we're going to be talking about, I don't think there's going to be a designated number one guy. There isn't a Connor Bedard, you know, caliber player where a guy who's just going to completely separate himself from the rest of the draft class. I think it's going to go down to the very latest part of the season where whoever has that number one pick is going to have a really difficult decision to make whether it comes to James Hagans, Porter Martone, Michael Misa, you know, one of the Swedish kids, Anton Frundell. But I think Porter Martone, man, if you can get a guy that big, that strong, and that mature already, that's going to be a difficult thing to pass on.
Yeah, I mean, and as a leader, that says a lot about him, and we talked about that earlier. But 19 CHL clubs will be represented at that CHL USA Prospects Challenge. It's going to take place in London and in Oshawa, November 26, 27. So we're looking forward to that. And you'll see a lot of the top players that were discussed here today, including Misa, Spence, Malcolm Spence, Matthew Schaefer. And we got a goalie, an A-rated goalie this year, which is nice to see, right? Right, Adam? Joshua Ravensbergen from Prince George. So we'll look forward to the CHL NTTP game, which is going to be fun.
And NHL draft class will be there. We will be there along the entire route to the 2025 NHL draft. So stay tuned, subscribe. Mike, good stuff from Dan Marr. We're going to have a lot more going forward, right?
We will. And there's one thing I want to mention too, Adam, before we sign off. Gary Eggleston spent 31 years as a scout for NHL Central Scouting before his retirement in 2012. Passed away. He left us on October 22nd at the age of 89. We at NHL Draft Class want to extend our condolences to the Eggleston family and Gary Scouting and colleagues and friends. Just a fantastic guy working with him, right, Adam? We both had the chance to talk to Gary, to get his knowledge, gain knowledge on some of the best Eastern Conference scouts. He began his scouting career working part-time for the Detroit Red Wings when Hall of Famer Sid Abel served as general manager and coach in the early 1960s. He kind of worked his way up to the scout through the scouting ladder to become one of those more respected evaluators in the business, particularly those interested in those Eastern U.S. scouts. But the thing I remember most was when he was telling me how he, was one of the first to scout current Rangers general manager Chris Drury when he started Fairfield Prep in Connecticut, and he also watched Brian Leetch at Avon Old Farms, John LeClair in Vermont, and two of his favorite players that he ever scouted at. I remember him telling me this in 2010. Keith Tkachuk at Malden High School and Tom Barrasso of Acton Boxborough High School, both in Massachusetts. So he saw a lot of great players, was a great mind to gain some knowledge into how the scouting industry works and what he looks for in specific players. And he'll be missed, but he certainly left a lasting legacy for NHL Central Scouting.
Absolutely. What I remember about Gary, going to those Central Scouting final ranking meetings in April, and you'd sit in the room with all the scouts, and they're a pretty diverse bunch at the time. And Gary was all, and Gary covered the East, and Jack Barzee covered the West. And Jack was dialed up to about 15 from the time he woke up in the morning to the time he went to sleep. And he was fiercely defending, loudly defending the top players coming out of the Western part of the U.S., where Gary would do it also. But he would do it in a much, much more understated, calm way, made his point across, and everybody in the room always listened when Gary talked because that was a level of respect that he commanded. And yeah, NHL draft class, we send our condolences to Gary, his family, his friends in the scouting community, one of the more well-respected guys who's covered for so many years and found so many great players.
Yeah, a true gentleman. Dan Moore always told us that he was a gentleman and what he wanted. How he wanted to approach the scouting industry, and he did just that. So, again, we just wanted to extend our condolences there to Gary and his family.
And again, thank you for everyone who listened to NHL Draft Class. Thank you for following along as we start season 7 here. And if you like this, tell a friend, please subscribe, tell us what you love about the show. I am Adam Kimmelman, and for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.